I understand what it feels like to be ripped apart inside and have to repair that. Hey everyone, my name is Dr. Rizzo and I'm here with Nick Vlahos. We're doing what we call Mentality Unleashed. What is that? Well, it's a 12-week series that's focusing on something specific. Being a man ain't easy in today's day and age. There's a million different reasons why. We have luxuries that we've never had access to in our time. We have difficult times, difficult subjects that we've never had difficulties with. Depression is number one reason why people are not working right now. And then on top of that, we are having to be the leaders of our homes. We're having to be great husbands. We're having to be good fathers, which is the most important jobs of our lives. And that's not easy. Keeping our families together is not easy. So this is what we're doing is we're passing on 12 different stories of men who have been through the trenches, who have been through the grind, who have dealt with their insecurities, those wounds, who found their adventure, but also they've also found their beauty and rescued her. This is our story of how we've done that. Today's a little different though. But first, let me go into our sponsor, it's Covenant Coffee. You know, this is something, again, we say a million episodes every time, but it's about foster kids. Foster kids are the one subgroup that we can say are orphans. And if there's anything the Lord spoke about in our Bible, he said the number one true religion, if there's anything above all religions, actually it was James, he said is to be with the fatherless and the motherless. So Covenant Coffee does just that. And not only do they do that, they employ those foster kids and they also give them new opportunities. So shout out to them and to the great coffee. But back to our episode today, where we're gonna do something a little different. Nick, Big Daddy Nick, Nicky V, he's gonna interview me. And this is something that's different for me because I've never really told my story on air. So this is going to flip the script. Nicky V, go ahead, my man.
Yeah, and just so the audience knows, he doesn't really know what I'm going to ask him. So,
nice.
Yeah, a little bit of our stories. I've seen Dr. Johnny Rizzo over here. I've seen a lot of his life. I would say the last 11 years, in that range, I got to see a character arc, right? Yeah. For this guy. Yeah. So I want to start in a very difficult spot for you. A question I have for you is, well, let me say this. I thought my boy Johnny here was dead. Okay. It's not funny. It is kind of funny because he lived with me for a little while and he'll get into that in a second. But I come home and he's like in his room and he's like laying, you can't see me because this is audio, but unless you're watching it, I don't know, but he's like laying on one of those. He's laying on one of those little balls. Those like hard, kind of, you know.
It was one of those balls that they used to massage. Yeah, as a handball, but they used it to massage you.
Yeah, and he was laying, and his like tongue was kind of. I might be making too much of it, but he's like laying. He's like, I think he's half naked. It's on its back, and he's just laying there. And I can't tell if he's breathing or what. He like passed out on this thing. It's like left a mark on his back, and I'm like, bro.
Yeah, I was bleeding afterwards.
What? Are you okay? And the reason I want to start there is because there's a lot that led up to that, and I want to know, Johnny, like how you got there to that spot.
Talk about a big arc. Big arc. I've had a big arc in my life. I was an early riser, going to university, but just know this: the area of the most difficult life, my weakest area in life is being in the classroom. Let's just start there. No matter what, I'm the worst student ever. But in my early 20s, I was working hard. I got married. I found a woman who I thought was the love of my life. And, you know, I was doing my grind. You know, I was trying to prove to everyone I wasn't a failure. I wasn't an idiot just because I had a hard time learning as a kid. And I was going to school full time and working full time. And I worked at juvenile hall. So I was a juvenile correction officer. So I was doing graveyards, tons of graveyards. And I was going to school during the day. And at the time, my wife, she was doing her thing. She was in her grind, right? So doing our grind, doing our thing, and we were having typical relationship issues, but nothing out of the ordinary. And we were working hard. And all of a sudden, one day I came home, mm-hmm. and this is hard, man. And one day I came home, and she's just like, "I don't love you anymore." I was like, "What? What are you talking about? Come on, get out of here with this stuff." You know, typical love, typical stuff. You're like, "Nah." She's like, "Nah, I don't love you." She's like, "I don't know if I ever did." She's like, "I'm not attracted to you." She's like, I don't want to be with you anymore." You know, I was about 26, 27 at the time, and I was like, "What?" It blew my mind. Now, I was a kid. I was like 26. It blew my mind because I didn't know something like that could happen to me. You know, I had a pretty achieved life where I've taken care of myself. I've taken care of everything. I've taken care of my own. I lived in a big house. We had nice, me and my ex had nice cars. And all of a sudden, she's like, "I don't want to be with you anymore." So I went from being in a 2,600 square foot home, having a nice BMW, to living in Nick's 300 square foot
bedroom that I had built. I had it built in the middle of my house. I had like 20 roommates, like crazy.
So not only did I, you know, and she ended up, and I don't want to get into that. It ended up getting really bad.
Yeah.
It ended up getting really bad where I had to leave the home, and it was really unfair circumstances. And it broke me because I followed all the rules. I followed all the laws. I've done everything right. And I still got dumped. I still lost everything. And that's why that led up to you, me in the room. So in order for me to survive at that time, I was in a full-on internship, 8 to 5.
Yes.
And I was and probation, I was on a very good standing with them. They gave me a leave of absence so that I could do that internship full-time. Well, when my ex left me, I had to survive. And no, the internship was pretty much free. So I was like, okay, that's not going to work. And this is the one thing that people need to know about me. I don't give myself options to quit. There's no option. It was never an option of, okay, I got to quit my school psychology program. It was my last year, my last quarter of the semester. I got to quit to make ends meet. No, there was no option. I went back to probation. So I was working full-time, 8 to 5 at the schools doing my internship. And then I was working at graveyards and PMs at probation on weekends. So starting from Sunday, so when Nikki V found me, let's do a time trace. Wednesday night. Let me tell you my schedule of what led to that Wednesday night. I would do a graveyard Sunday night. And then I would go to work from 8 to 5 on Monday. So I would not sleep. Maybe a 2-hour nap in my car at a gas station on Union, right?
On Union. And then,
because I worked over there at Greenfield at a community school. And then I would go work from 8 to 5. I would go home. I would prep. I still had homework at the time. And then I would go to work to graveyard again. I would do another graveyard. So Monday night. And then Tuesday morning, I would go back to work at the district, and then I would go back to work at the PM or at the graveyard on Tuesday night. So I'm not sleeping. So Sunday night is the last time I slept. Well, actually, yeah, Sunday night is the last time I slept, and I'm not sleeping at all until Tuesday. This is Tuesday night. I'm doing another graveyard, and then Wednesday morning I go back to work at the district, and then at that time, Nikki V found me.
I found you too, bro.
Yeah.
You were out. I was like, this isn't, and I make fun of it, but I was like, this isn't good. Like, there's something, because he's like, you know, when you're using the little ball, like, you're like getting something out of your back. Like, it's painful, right? You literally fell asleep, like, probably in the midst of some physical pain. Because it feels good too. It feels good, but you were out. You were
but
gone.
Let's throw this other mixer in there. You know, in order for me to actually do those things, I was on a prescription too. And my doctor gave me Adderall. Yeah. So I was going, you know, for my Adderall in the morning.
Yep.
And then I would never really come down. Adderall in the morning again. Never really come down. Adderall in the morning again. Never really come down. Right? Because I have to survive. And then I'm having to take Xanax. And my doctor gave me Xanax, Ambien, and then whatever else could sleep. So when you found me, I was in the most survival mode. Of any survival modes, I was broken in every means possible. That was probably one of the lowest times in my life.
And the reason I wanted to start with that, because you're here at this moment. So mentorship played some kind of role through that, you know, but I really wanted you to take the story now from you waking up, buying a car you shouldn't have bought, and having to sell it. Just going wild, right? For whatever. Well,
what do you do when your heart's broken?
I don't know,
do
man.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's ironic. I don't even know what's the right word. Like, your heart was broken and you still were going through like the toughest time of your professional career because you're going through internship, trying to work, survive in this little tiny room in the middle of my house. Wow. Right. But you're here now. So I don't want to jump all the way to here. I want to jump from you almost waking up and at that moment going from, okay, I got to finish my internship. I got to get through this piece. Like the next 6 months to the year, what was the process there? Because at some point you were like, I can't live in this despair. I have to do something.
What I've always done is I've always been talented in certain areas. And one of the most areas that I'm talented in is chunking things out and just grinding it one piece at a time. And I did that for years. And part of what I did and I was really strong in too is compartmentalizing. I just didn't deal with things that I was going through. I didn't deal with the pain of my ex dumping me. I didn't deal with the pain of me struggling through, you know, some of my insecurities. Am I dumb? Right? Can I do this? You know, I took Adderall for about 10 years because I thought I couldn't write. I thought I had ADHD that was so impairing to me that I needed these pills to help me do my job.
Dude, I even think psychologically, we've had this discussion even in the last few years, how long it's taken you psychologically to realize that that isn't true, that wasn't true for you.
Well, I believed the lie. Believed the lie. A lie was that I was broken. A lie was there was something wrong with me, but where did that track from? That track from me as a kid not learning, dude. I remember being in the classroom, never being available to learn. People just thought I was, because I was very charismatic and I can talk well, people always thought I had more in me than what I had. And academically, dude, I never had it. I can't tell you often I was trying to learn. I was trying to get those math equations. I was trying to get the writing down and I just couldn't get it. So, you know, imagine, you know, I started off at BC learning fractions. What, dude? And there was this, it was special ed kids next to me. Imagine, like, that's what I went through. So, you know, fast forward, I felt like I was a failure. I felt like I was a dummy.
So you're not only you're an internship, you are still part of going to school at some level, right? Because internship's a piece of it, so to go to class. You're still in that, like, I don't know if I can, even though you're highly intelligent, you're like, man, it's school. You're going through a divorce, right? You don't know where your job's going to be after your intern. You just don't know these things when you're a school psychologist, an intern. You have to find a new job. You have to grind. You got to be the top level because there's a lot of competition there. You're working in a kind of the environment you're working in already is negative, right? Because you have to do things you don't want to do, right? You have to, you know, you're with students that are incarcerated or, you know, whatever it may be. Psychologically, I don't know how'd you crawl out? Tell me. What's like the one or two things you did to crawl out of that? Because it'd be easy to not be here now.
It wasn't healthy ways. It wasn't healthy ways.
I understand that.
I partied pretty hard.
Yep.
And when I mean I partied hard is I just stopped caring about my behavior. I stopped caring. And when I stopped caring about behavior, I stopped caring about what I cared about. And therefore, that was like, I had that numbness. And I was good with that. Because you know what, man? I was a dang good psychologist with that numbness. I was a high achiever. I was producing results. I was getting a ton of attention. But you know what really killed me, man, is I was doing all that, but I still had this void. I still didn't know how to be a good husband. And at that, like, fast forward 6 years later, you know, I have a new woman in my life, right? And and that's what, there was a point where even though I was able to crawl out of all that, and I would say I did it in unhealthy ways, it caught up to me when I got married with Melissa. Because I was like, I need to stop all these behaviors. I need to stop taking these pills to survive, to do my job. I need to stop drinking. I need to stop being a wild man. And I had to do all that, and I didn't know how.
Okay, So you didn't know how. And you, and like you said, there was some unhealthy things, but at some point you turn it around, and it was when you, I remember when you met Melissa, and like you were like, there was something different. Like, this was good for you, right? She was good for you. Oh, yeah. And you got married, and so you, who was there for you throughout this process? From, hey, Jonathan, I don't love you anymore. I want out of this. Shakes your whole, destroys your whole idea of reality. Dude, you had a really nice house. You lived in a nice neighborhood. You had the car. You had the wife. You had the church, right? You had the parents. You had everything. And then boom. So who is there? It can be peers. It can be mentors. Who is there for you? And the reason I want to ask this is because I think people out there need to understand that I truly believe, I have faith that God will put those people in your life. You just have to let them in. You have to let them in to help you. And it might be somebody in this stage of your life, but 2 years from now, they may not even be in your life anymore. And that's fine. Right? Yeah. So just tell me, who's there during that time?
During the wild days? I call wild it the wild days. That was like post-divorce. And then before I got married again, I had a lot of my friends. They were really there for me. You, my dog, you know, my road dog, you know, you were there for me. And boy, was that good. My brother was there for me. I had some best friends, Josh Vietti, he was my ride or die. I had my friend Andrew Morales, and my parents, you know, but can I tell you something? They were there during my wild days, but you know, they're a part of those wild days. You know, they were a part of the wild stories. Yeah. Can I tell you what changed? There was a big difference. So I got married again, and it was hard. And I was not about to lose another woman. Losing a woman is one of the worst things a man can do. And I wasn't going to do it again.
It has to be up there, man. I mean, even biblically, like when that is ripped apart, like you are one. Think about that. I believe when the Bible says you're one, that's what you are. That it's a rip. I don't even know how you can't really rip that apart. How do you really rip that apart?
I understand what it feels like to be torn apart.
You have to at that point.
I understand what it feels like to be ripped apart inside and have to repair that. Right? Hey, so you know what changed? I had to change some of the people that were in my life, and I didn't remove my friends because they're still my best friends. You guys are all still my best friends, but I talked to Pastor Tom. I said, Tom, and you know why? Because I knew church had to be a part of my story, and I didn't think it needed to be my journey. You know, I'm not meant to go work for the church and things like that. I just knew it was a part of my story, and I felt like I didn't belong there, and I felt like I didn't have good traction on my marriage. And you know, on top of that, like, of course I can go to my parents, and I did go to my parents, but at times you want somebody outside of that. And that's when I talked to Pastor Tom, and he's like, all right, I do got vision for you. And I was like, man, I was so happy about that. Like, dang, somebody's going to bring me inside in the fold. Okay. But then he was like, you got to go to Cal State. I was like, whoa, I'm an East Sider. He's like, you got to start a Bible study. And I'm just coming out of my wild days, right? and then he told me I have to meet with him every Wednesday for an hour. And I hate talking to people for an hour. But those were the things that he did. But when he did that, and him, this guy, Glenn Allen, you know the first things that they worked on? My marriage. And that's why I was like, I'm in. I'm in with this mentoring, because the one thing that you're going to work on, the one thing you're actually going to focus on me redeeming, you're not going to try to plug me into some ministry and make me some youth pastor and have me do all this volunteer stuff at the church. They were like telling me to go spend more time with my wife. You know, that's the stuff they worked on, dog. So that's me.
Well, that's your ministry. Like, here's for all of you out there that are married men. Listen, I understand, like, that you are called. We are all called, and we have things to do at the church. But listen, if your marriage has to be in order. It has to be in order. Like, there shouldn't be any compromise there. Like, that has to be first. Because I think God has made it that way. Like, that's something He's ordained.
Yep.
So live in that. Yep. That is your ministry.
Yep.
Or a significant part of it.
And I think that's what I loved about them, is that's what they focused on. And then they told me, through that, I will be a good father.
Yes.
And that's something I heard my whole life from my dad. but I needed to hear it, and I needed somebody else to guide me at that point, right? I saw it, you know, there's child parent, not conflicts, but just, you know, there's other people that need to be a part of every child's story. And that's where Pastor Tom came, and he not only guided me through my marriage, that's just where he started.
Yes.
You know what he also helped me with is at that same point, I was having, you know, fast forward, I was doing really good in my career, but I was just burned out. I was tired. I was commuting to Porterville. I was commuting to Porterville 5 years. I was commuting 2 hours a day. I was in a full-time doctoral program. So not only was I commuting 5 years, I was going to school at Cal State Bakersfield in a doctoral program. I was burned out. So by the time Pastor Tom got a hold of me, I was already finished my program. I didn't want to be in education anymore. I didn't even want to be in mental health anymore. I was exhausted, and I wasn't a good husband. So he fixed the first part, which is being a husband.
And can I make a point to that? Sorry to cut you off. But I have to say this. When you are in a state of exhaustion, tired, hungry, mad, upset, don't let those feelings and the way – don't let that really dictate how you feel necessarily about your profession. Because I remember with you, Johnny, it was like the position you're in right now.
You remember that, huh?
I remember the whole thing. So you were looking for a way out. And I was like, well, wait, let's talk about this. Why are you looking? Oh, yeah, because you're commuting 2 hours a day? Because the amount of work you're doing over there was not feasible? As opposed to, no, it wasn't the profession you wanted out of. You wanted out of that specific situation.
Yeah.
So don't conflate. Yeah. People, don't conflate. You know, what is your passion? And maybe you're in a spot and you have the passion, but it's not working in that area. Look, you can look forever other avenues there, right?
100%. Well, heck yeah, dude. Heck yeah. And I think that's where that helped me at that time.
Yes.
And for that mentorship process, it didn't stop there. Because you know what had happened is what Tom did, along with, you know, my dad and everybody else in my life, it worked. But you know what I had to do, Nick, is in order for me to really grow with that too, along with that mentorship, is I had to put in the work. I had to put in the grind.
I had to
get off those pills. And everyone supported me. I needed everyone in my life to do that because I wasn't addicted to them. But I believed that I needed them to do a job.
You were using them functionally. And we do want to state that we understand we're not here trying to say you can't take medication. But in Johnny's situation, he knew he was under this thought process, especially from the system he came from in the school district and not – when he was a kid, didn't work out, like, you know, he needed something to focus. And now he's on something that and like put him in the situation he was in.
And you know, the big thing me and you knew, the purpose of medication was only to apply in order to increase the skills and then fade out. I had to practice what I preached. So I had to face that. And you know what I had to do? Is I finally had to come to a lifespan instead of relying on my talents, instead of relying on my pills, instead of relying on this, I could perform. I had to finally develop back up and develop habits to sustain who I was and become the man that I wanted to be.
Oh, there's practicality to what you're doing is what you're saying right now. That's something that I think it needs to be said and cannot be understated. It's like, you can have a systematic approach for success, which starts with God.
Yep.
And then you had somebody like Pastor Tom and your dad and your family and your friends, like having, for those of you out there that are Christians, like don't get so caught up in the clouds. You don't realize there's work to be done and you need to take these approaches. You need to take a systematic approach as a man to be successful. Right, it's the same as like, well, I want to get married. Well, are you doing anything? Are you doing anything to prepare yourself for that? Well, I trust God. Well, sure, go get in your car right now and trust that you're not getting an accident and die. But you know, maybe you should wear your seatbelt still. Right? Are you preparing? Yep. You know, for what could happen?
Yep. And I think that's where I had to practice what I preach. I had to, what I did is I had to reteach myself. Remember, all therapy is, everyone, simple. It's reteaching, replacing, changing how you think, and then building skills. That's all it is. And what I had to do is I had to perform therapy on myself. Because if you perform therapy on yourself, you won't need therapy. And part of that therapy process is I had to learn who I was. I had to learn some habits. And the habits that I had to learn is the ones that my dad and Tom told me. Simple stuff like journaling.
Yeah, because people think mentorship is actually very effective if you act on, if you have a mentor that is a God-loving man like Pastor Tom. Like, if you just listen, but not, but what I mean, listen in action.
Yeah.
That's how, you know, we all need a little, we all need direction at some point, right? And we have the Holy Spirit, obviously, but God works through the Holy Spirit and others to tell you what you need, like show you what you need to do and accept what you have going on. I'll say what's funny about you, dude. You'll call me. There's a whole story with the kid and a machete. And like, you called me and told me about that story, but you're like, man, I'm like in a lot of trouble. And I'm like, well, did you do what you were supposed to? And like, you've always been good at, and I know we're going to end in a couple minutes, but that was a crazy part of your journey of like, you did what you thought was right, but you laughed at it because you know what? May not be good for me to really help this kid, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, he supported the student. It was a tough situation.
But that's the guy I want to be. I want to be the man that does what's right. I want to be the man that does what produces the best results. Stop giving me policies. Stop giving me rules. Stop giving me your books. Show me what produces the best results for change.
And you'll do it.
Show it to me. And then tell me your process. And then teach me your process. And
that's what this whole series is. That's what this whole series is. And I think this is like so needed. And that kind of gives me to my lap. Here's my last question for you is what now? Because you're here, right? And people can just kind of glide on. You could not change anything and you're going to have a nice life, a nice, just easy life. But what, not easy, but you know what I mean? Like you've made it in a lot of people's minds. You can have a nice life here.
I could be comfortable now.
But what's next?
I'd rather die than be comfortable.
Thank you.
I want to, hey, you know what you know what I'm doing now, Nicky V? I'm pushing the limits in every area of my life. So I'm a full-time school psychologist, and I've done a good job at that in the sense of where, you know, I've automated things. I have interns that want to come, that volunteer to work for me for free to learn. So I have a very good job that's very sustainable, that I can manage a lot of different things at one time. So I'm a full-time employee there. And then I'm also a professor at Fresno Pacific University, where I do a lot of the research and mentoring for the last year students. But then what I've also done is throughout this whole time, you know, I believe in what we do in mentoring, and I believe in what Tom did for me. So I actually started my own group. When he said, hey, Johnny, I need you to start your own small group, I did that. I stayed in the trenches for 5 years. I didn't have people show up for 2 years. And now I've had people showing up for the last 3 to 4 years. So I've been doing the mentoring, and that's weekly. And I do it Thursday, 6 a.m. If you want to show up, babe, if you want a piece of me, Thursday, 6 a.m. And I do it early because I only want the hungry to come. You ain't going to come and let me entertain you at 6 a.m. You're going to be hungry. So, you know, I'm doing the Bible study, and I'm doing all the stuff for that I can for Mighty Men Through the Church. But then the last thing that I've started doing is I started my own business. So I'm my own clinician. I have the degrees and licensing and all that stuff. And my wife does. So we started our own business. And Nikki, we're doing my passion, baby.
I'm not only in
the schools. I'm not only working with the parents, the teachers, the principals. Now I'm pushing into the homes. And I get to hire clinicians. I get to hire behavioral therapists. They get to work with the kids 8 hours a week. So I have my own business where I can really make a big impact and be independent. And I'm also doing this.
Show Nick, that book also, in front of you. Show that legacy, a liberated grind, mind. Baby. That one's Wild at Heart and both together. There's a practicality with the spiritual right there.
These two things. Both of those together.
Yes.
These two things have changed my life.
Yes.
They have been, this one here is a specific framework on how to think, on how to become your own therapist, on how to push yourself, on how to have that strong mentality, on how to build that resilience, on how to have that meaningful life. But this one teaches you on what it means to be a man of God. It teaches you what to be a man, because this one didn't show me what type of journey that I needed to be on. This one didn't show me how to be a good husband. It didn't show me how to rescue that woman, but this one does. And both of these together, you know, along with the men in my life that have shown me how to do this, this is what produced the man that I am today. And I'm, and you know, Nick, I'm scared every day and I love it because I have a process on how to deal with it.
You do.
I use my adrenaline to stay hyped. I write my reflections. I shape my mentality. I shape my perspective. And then I work with that all throughout the day, baby. That's it, Nicky V. That is it. What do you think, my boy?
That's great, man. I'm glad. I'm glad with what you're doing. Just keep going. Don't stop.
That's it, baby. Well, everyone, this is what I want you guys to know. You know, we're not here just to waste your time. I'm not here just to get attention. I'm here because we've done good work. I'm here because the men that I've had brought on that are going to be on have done the things that we want you to do. We've had our wounds. We've had our battles. We've had our big losses. We've had our failures, and they don't matter. That's just a part of life. That's just step one of getting to step two. And what we want to do is show you our processes. We want to show you our strategies. But not only that, we have an event on January 6th, half day. We're going to have me, Pastor Tom, Pastor Hector Rizzo, or Tom Touchstone, and Hector Rizzo. Let's take the pastor out of it. You're going to have three men who have done this mentorship, who have lived this life. You have me as the clinician, but you have them as the warriors who want to take you through this process, who want to show you the strategies that we've learned, who want to take you through those hard questions that you may have, those hard experiences. We want to guide you through that process. We're keeping it small to only 50 guys. We're going to have a big bomb buffet, but we're inviting you out to join this experience. All right, Nicky V, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you being on, my boy.
Thank you.
Peace.
Love you, man. Talk to you later,
everyone. Love you too, brother.